The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they put a big smile on your face because they're fun and we enjoy them. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back. He's coming back sooner than you think, hopefully before this introduction is over, so I don't do another introduction and blow that one just like I blew this one. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we want to. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. The David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian thingy. Now, you might have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. You might want to share something that the Lord's doing in your life, just kind of talking about the things that are taking place. A praise report just to say thank you, Lord. Prayer request to get a whole bunch of people praying for you on something that you really need prayer for. Maybe it'll be Bible trivia. Maybe it's just something that you want to make a comment on. All we're asking is that we encourage one another. You have plenty of opportunities, plenty of places, plenty of social media outlets where you can share your frustrations, but you also need to be able to share the blessings. And so we want to encourage you to do that as well. Here's the ticket. If you want to reach out to us, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll have Terrific T and she will answer the phone. And let me tell you what that's like. That's like taking a day off. Yes, sir. Taking the day off. Thank you. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, David@HeMustIncrease.org. That's David@HeMustIncrease.org. Speaking of which, that is the access point to our website where we have a bunch of different files, some sound files, some videos, some different sayings, different things on there that will basically encourage you towards the Lord. All you got to do is go visit HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David@HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so just check that out. That's a great place to give if that's what the Lord leads you to do. We don't require that. We don't want to put any guilt on that. We are 100% tax-deductible nonprofit corporation, but if you've got your giving centered somewhere else, do that. Stay with that. Be diligent in that. We're much more committed to you taking care of your home base, your church, the people where you fellowship with more than anything else. This is a supplemental fellowship for Christians to gather. We think it's kind of fun encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. And if you've looked around, it certainly seems like the day was approaching. Yesterday, in fact, with all the tornado-y stuff, it really seemed like the day was approaching. It's like, uh-oh, here comes the Lord. So bottom line, we encourage you in all of these things. We're going to get into our teaching in just a second. do not forget. Please do not forget. So Thursday we'll be doing the Book of Acts. We'll be doing that in the second hour for a prayer request. Just keep my wife in prayer. We had a nice update from Julianne. A lot of people didn't see it, but it was a nice update about Easton making some decent progress. Wow. It's about time that we heard some positive on that side of things. And so he's making some progress. So just keep praying for Julianne and Easton. Keep praying for Noel. And then last night, yours truly got a little sick. I have that stomach tear that I've had some problems with, and it happened a little bit last night, so I was not feeling all that great. So you just have to put up with me as I power through this next hour and a half, and as we have a good time in the Lord, because that's always where you can find refreshment and revival, okay? In the presence of the Lord is the refreshment that you're looking for. You know what? Sometimes you just, you know, when you're really like, you know, tired and maybe it's a little sweaty and it's hot out. You know what you want? Just a refreshing shower. Yeah, that's what we want. But we want that in the presence of the Lord. Okay? All right. All right, we're going to go right into it. I want to go into our Thessalonians teach. I have a pretty interesting take on some of this material. Are we ready? We good? All good to go? Here we go. This is coming out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had been previously suffered and were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you, in spite of great opposition. I want to stop here and let you know what Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica. Paul and his crew went through some outrageous treatment. They suffered terribly. Do you know that the results of that outrageous treatment and that suffering terribly, you would think, wow, that's got to put a damper on things. But that's not how the economy of God works. And instead of being down and downcast and kicking the rocks in front of them and going, oh, nuts, Paul and his crew were more emboldened by God to preach the gospel. One of the things that we need to get a better handle on, which is a benefit for us in understanding church history, is sometimes outrageous treatment against Christians can produce the exact opposite effect that one would think it would produce. When they tried to quench the church in the early years of the church, when they tried to stuff the church down and squish it and make it no go, all that did when they increased the persecution of the church was spread the gospel farther and farther and farther into the world. Because what they were trying to do was stop something, but that produced something altogether new by the power of God. And one of the wonderful things in this passage that you might not have picked up on is Paul said, as you know, we were emboldened by our God. Boldness for the Christian does not come from a vindictiveness. It does not come from the necessity to win an argument. It does not come from arrogance that is within us. It does not even come from revenge. We'll get them. They'll get theirs. Boldness should come from God and be flowing through God so that it's used at the proper time and in the proper way. There are many Christians who become bold as a lion. Unfortunately, that lion is not like the Lion of Judah. It's like the lion in The Lion King, only the bad one. So sometimes the attitude and the arrogance and the pride and all that stuff come pushing through. That's not what the Lord wants. He wants that boldness to come from him and for it to be well-placed in the right time in the right manner. It's not just a matter of speaking out against things. It's also being led by the Holy Spirit at the proper time to speak and knowing the proper thing to say. All one has to do is review all of the Bible to see that takes place. So here's what Paul is writing is, you know what? This was a really rotten situation. We suffered terribly. We were treated outrageously. It was yuck. It was horrible. But guess what? Instead of that stopping us, it made us more determined, more committed to make sure that we are firm in our faith, that we share the gospel, and in fact, God emboldened us so that we had more strength and more endurance because they were trying to oppose us. We went forward even more. Listen to the practical lesson that Paul is communicating in this writing, which he probably didn't even realize he was writing this part the way he wrote it. They were treated poorly. It was an outrageous situation, but instead of that breaking their spirit, it made them just that much more committed to the process. And when you go through something and it's terrible, outrageous, it's suffering, it's a bummer, it's a drag. Like my vision of this is you're walking down the street in Mayberry RFD and your paw doesn't play with you and you're kicking rocks against the wall. You're just all depressed. My point is, instead of that being a discourager, let it be the encourager that God makes it by him emboldening you and strengthening you and saying, you know what? I'm even more determined to make this the way that God intends this to be. I'm not going to let Satan ruin this. I'm not going to let the world ruin this. I'm not going to let my flesh ruin this. I'm not going to let sin and other people ruin this. I'm going to stand firm in God, in spite of great opposition. Even if you're feeling like you're pushing up against the wall, please remember this. God can squish that wall in a millisecond. And he is for you and not against you. So the idea behind this is to say, you know what? Even though it's been suffering, even though it's been outrageous, and even though it's been frustrating, I am just more determined than ever, emboldened by God to stand my ground. There you go. You just stand your ground as God leads you, not as your flesh leads you. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any
person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're getting ready to do our first trivia question. Da-da-da! These trivia questions are, get ready, who said that? So this will be something that I read. That's something that somebody said in the Bible, and you tell me who said that. Some of these you don't have to have like an exact name because they don't all have an exact name, but you get the idea, and here will be the very first one. Who said this? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Who said that? Wow, what an opening. Will a man rob God? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA, the building blocks of who we are and what we are, because we found out something that you guys don't know. We found out that tomorrow there's going to be more news. Oh, no! More news is coming. Wow. So we want to be functioning in our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I just cannot stress, I think, daily enough. Daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. And A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve! So you're mindful of what the Lord may want you to do in one direction, plus you are mindful of other people and their needs, and you're kind of like a conduit there as the Holy Spirit lives inside you, as Jesus lives in your heart by faith, as you acknowledge God the Father, as the Lord desires from you, you are a vessel that the Lord can use to bless other people, thereby loving God first and foremost with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. All right, we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I had a tough night last night. Had a little bit of my stomach issue that kind of erupted a little bit, but I'm feeling better right now. So that just keep me in prayer that I don't that I don't look up to God and go, hey. that he never answers that. I don't know why I even do that. All right. Wow. Who in the Bible, who said this? Will a man rob God?
I know it was in the book of Malachi. Was it Malachi?
That is correct! You are right! It is in the book of Malachi, and it is Malachi 3:8. It says, will a man rob God? Exactly. And it's like people are like, well, Lord, you don't take care of us. And the Lord's like, you know, you're robbing me. So let's start with that, you know, kind of attitude. Excellent job.
It was all about tithing, right?
Right. And the thing there was that the people, what they did was they all gathered together, and they were supposed to be helping rebuild the temple and get stuff going. But what they did was they made a larger commitment to just getting their own houses settled and started to ignore the work of God. And that's when the Lord goes, okay, that's enough. You know, and that's when
right.
It came in. That's when
okay.
It came in.
Well, hey, also, I just wanted to say real quick, thank you for your teaching today, because that's exactly what I was dealing with myself for the last 3 years, and God's really helped to strengthen me. So thank you for teaching that today, because it's a blessing.
Well, that's so nice to hear. I appreciate you sharing that with me, and I'm glad it was a blessing. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Well, have a good day.
All right. You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Like that. All right. So, you never know, right? When you're listening, you know, so, I will say this, and this is kind of a perfect lead in to this next section, which is amazing because only God can orchestrate a symphony perfectly, right? It's important because sometimes you'll hear a teaching, you'll even go to church, you'll hear a teaching, you'll hear something on radio, something on television, something you'll read, devotional. And you know, sometimes it's really stirring, and then other times it's not as stirring. Let's just say that's the reality check. But when you hear it and it touches the chord and it means something, that makes a difference. And not every word out of every mouth, out of every teacher is going to stir you the same way each time you hear it. It's like, that's okay. You want your brothers and sisters to hear and to be blessed, and you want to be reminded and to keep things in mind. And who knows when you might need it, maybe even next week or tomorrow, even if you don't need it in the spot. Now, that's a perfect lead-in to the rest of this Thessalonians text, because in Thessalonians, Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 2:3. He says, "For our exhortation did not come from error or impurity or an intent to deceive." Very, 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 very important. Paul, in his letters, talks about there's false teachers. Now, the false teachers were dropping on people legalisms that were not required within the framework of Scripture. They were requiring people to do things that Jesus didn't require people to do. And Paul set forth strongly the justification by faith. And it doesn't just stop there at justification by faith, because even though you're justified by faith, that next step is sanctification, which comes through that justification. Now that he's made you this really righteous person, he's now going to make you look like this really righteous person. And so your position declares your practicality, which we're talking about in the next hour. But he says something here that I think gets missed, and I would like to address it, especially if you have a different background than mine. Since I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination, but since I have a master's degree from a charismatic school and I'm getting my doctorate from a Baptist school and have a few other things in that fire, you will understand that I have a diversity of opinion. In my theologies, in the ones that I study and ones that I absorb into, I recognize I don't understand it all. I've never met any professor anywhere at any point, anybody that knew it all to the degree that Jesus knew it. Even Paul, 20 years after his conversion, was asking questions in Acts 19. Well, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? I mean, he's still trying to figure stuff out. That's just so evident you can't get away from it. That's not the point. The point is there are many teachers, and most teachers, all authentic Bible-believing born-again Christians, are not seeking to deceive anybody. Now, there are some that do, and there are some that do it for personal gain, or there's some that do it because they're just lousy people, and I'm not going to disagree with that. But by and large, the majority of teachers, people that teach at Pentecostal and Charismatic and Church of Christ and Presbyterian and Methodist, especially Free Methodist, and Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, doesn't even matter. Most of these people are genuinely authentic people trying to communicate what they understand and what they believe will be helpful. It is not that there's 50% good teachers and 50% bad teachers. If you want to use statistics, it was only 1 out of 12 that was totally wackadoodle in regards to disciples following Jesus. So that would be as valid a percentage as anything else. But the reason I bring this up is because if you're from a Pentecostal background and you're listening to a Baptist preacher, if you're listening to Robert Jeffers, who's a fantastic teacher, fantastic, there's nothing wrong with you being blessed by him because you don't agree on some other particular issues. There is nothing wrong from you being blessed by Pastor Ray, who's Calvary Chapel. I mean, he's good friends with Chuck Smith. And you're thinking, oh, that's bad. It's like if you read his material, if you listened to what he had to say, he's the nicest guy in the world. I love this guy. I'm going to be doing a teaching of his later on. You can be blessed by him as well. All these people are authentic, genuine,
trying to follow the Lord in their sharing. That's a lot different than somebody who has an intent to deceive. And that's what Paul talks about. He says, our exhortation didn't come from error, impurity, or an intent to deceive. If somebody teaches something different than you think from the eschaton, from the eschatology, that doesn't make them an evil teacher. It makes them think that the eschatology is different. The real key in that is their character and their reflection of Jesus Christ. It's kind of easy. Well, you have to do this this way. Well, you have to do this this way. Wow, how Pharisaical. I thought the Pharisees and Jesus didn't get along. Let me check that out. What is it? This is Matthew 23. Oh, look, he called them 15 different names in one chapter. Name calling is not very Christ-like. Well, tell it to Jesus. That's not my problem. But the bottom line is, a lot of these people that you hear across the board are all excellent, and you should have a strong enough filter that you can take it in and not have to worry about your disagreement on eschatology or even on spiritual gifts and understand they're trying to do the best they can, and that ought to be recognized. They're not trying to teach error, they're not trying to be impure, and they're not trying to deceive. Okay, but you use the Word of God as best as you understand, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, as your plumb line to figure out what you where you stand on some of those things. And you are, by the way, required to review that. That is the call or the commission you have to evaluate whether these things are so or not. The reason I do that is because who knows if the next great blessing might come from somebody in a different denomination who speaks a simple word or a simple message, and it's just a blessing that God has set up for you to receive. Got it? Okay. So that's kind of like, okay, cool. Got it. Cool. All right. We did our trivia. We did our DNA. We did this. Going to take our break and come back. Got a wild next hour coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Top of the hour. Then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find. He's the heart.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.